You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back. We're back, and we've got some great guests today. We've got Bruce Turkel standing on deck. We're going to talk about branding and Hoosier Spock, and it has nothing to do with Nanu Nanu, although that was not Spock. That was Mork. That's right, that was Mork. But right now we're talking condos, rental apartments, the multi-housing market with our good friend here on the show, Anthony Burns from DevStar. He's building 400-plus units on the water, Marina Palms Lifestyle Community. And then we've got Brian Bandel. He's our resident pundit for real estate. He is the award-winning journalist at the South Florida Business Journal. We're back at it. Let's talk about a new place that people haven't been talking about anywhere really in the news. That's the new North Miami Beach. I grew up there. I'm an NMB Charger. So is Bruce.
No, Beach High.
But the heck with you.
High Tide.
You're at High Tide. I'll meet you at My Pie, if it only existed.
I remember that.
I do, but they just tore it down. Anyway, yeah, I could tell some great My Pie stories, but then we'd have to turn off the mic. So in any event, so we're going to talk now about the new North Miami Beach. The mayor's all behind this. They got a big CRA. I'm seeing lots of deals. They just bought the strip club. They're going to make a gazillion units out there. Hey, what's going on in North Miami Beach? It's just south of where Marina Palms is. You've been watching, Anthony. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, North Miami Beach 3 years ago, prior to the new mayor, George Vallejo, taking office, was really a city that was stuck in the 70s. They believe that if they don't build it, they will not come. The problem was is Sunny Isles was exploding, Aventura was exploding, and North Miami Beach was caught in the middle and getting all of the downside of the traffic, the congestion, and none of the tax revenue. There's been a new change in the city. The city has been a wonderful partner for us. We were one of the first projects, large-scale projects, that started a few years ago. Now they've done some rezoning. They're a very development and business-friendly administration. And North Miami Beach is going to transform. 5 years from now, the Biscayne Corridor, where North Miami Beach is going to be a completely different animal than it is today. And that's going to be for the benefit of the entire city. And so I don't have enough good things to say about what Mayor Vallejo has done. He's a friend of ours, and he's really going to transform that city.
Wow. And Brian, so what do you think about what's going on over there? Because there's some really interesting things on the boards by some really interesting people.
Yeah, I've been following the progress closely. There's been a lot of activity. North Miami Beach, they sit out debate when they changed the zoning. They allowed 32 stories in some areas and also mixed use, not just this is commercial, this is residential. Put commercial, residential together, very much like a downtown. And developers are definitely going after that bait. You have Marina Palms. You have the Harbor Project by 13th Floor. And just last week, I wrote about three new giant projects. The Riverwalk was proposed, 1.5 million square feet on Biscayne Boulevard, 730 residential units in one of those buildings, plus 177 hotel rooms. And then there was another apartment building proposed on Biscayne with 349 units. So a tremendous amount of activity going on in North Miami Beach. I think people realize that they can get a nice waterfront unit there, much less expensive than Miami Beach and Edgewater.
You know, now for me, what always the issue was right there was it was the hole in the donut. It was between everything. You couldn't really easily get to jobs. But now there's jobs there, Anthony.
Well, not only are there jobs there, but look at where 163rd is. It's 826. It's Biscayne. It's really the epicenter of one of the busiest trafficked areas. And if you live up there, you're also next to where some of the future commuter rail stations are going to be. And so there's a lot going on up there. It's a great neighborhood, and it's a great area to live. And it's not, depending on what time you want to go to work, it's not actually that bad in terms of traffic.
You know,
remember, there's a big office market in Aventura, and Aventura is very expensive. So you could live relatively better in North Miami Beach, drive to Aventura to work.
You're just a savant. You're just, the stuff you give me is just pearls of wisdom. I love you. You're the best. So, Brian, we've talked a little bit about North Miami Beach, which is Anthony's hometown, basically, where they've been building now for a long, long time. What do you see as another node that's evolving? Because you write about this stuff. Where's another place that you've seen some increased story, activity, idea and currency? I threw out an NBA topic. How about that?
Well, definitely right. In downtown Fort Lauderdale, there's a tremendous amount of apartment activity in downtown, especially in the Flagler Village area, just north of downtown on like 2nd Street. Also, now we're finally getting our first new condo downtown. The Coulter Group is proposing what would be the tallest building in downtown Fort Lauderdale with a condo and also a hotel as part of it. So we're seeing a lot of activity. We might soon see a new office building downtown by Crocker Group. So I think we're going to see all the residential come downtown Fort Lauderdale, and that will then breed other kinds of development, probably some more retail to make it a more complete, you know, live, work, play type of environment.
You know, it's fascinating because usually the way that I always perceived markets would develop would be office, then resi, then retail. And what we saw, that's the way Brickell did it. The key to Brickell was tipping off was when Harvey Taylor did his Publix. We'll talk about that on another show. I'll talk to you about it. So we've only got 4 minutes left. What I'd like to talk about, I've got a couple minutes with each. Anthony, what do you see with the condo market slowing down? What are some of the opportunities you see for the people that have made their money in multi-housing? Will they switch to a different model and maybe a lower-yielding apartment model, or will they hoard their acorns and just do condos again?
Well, it really depends on the risk profile, right? You have some developers that are going to make a lot of money in this cycle, and they're going to double down, just like we saw in the last cycle. They're going to continue to double down, buying land that's more and more expensive, construction costs that are more and more expensive, and at some point, Miami is a cyclical market. And regardless of what we think is going to happen, it's unlikely that there'll be a completely new paradigm, and there will be a downturn, and some people are going to get caught. There's also going to be the bucket of folks that take some of this capital. They're going to position themselves to take advantage of those opportunities of the folks that got over their skis. And that's what we saw in the last cycle, and that's what, being somebody that wants to make a bet on that, I think we'll see in the next cycle.
Yeah, I did my best deal this cycle was when I sold a site that was planned for an office condo last time to an apartment developer this time, and then flipped it a couple of years later while he was processing it. It's you're absolutely right. The opportunities are going to be where they are today. Brian, what do you think we're going to see here coming up in the next couple of years?
I feel that development will continue, but at a more moderate pace. It's going to be Darwinism, the winners and the losers. The buildings that are better positioned, that have prices that make sense for the neighborhood, will find buyers and be built. The ones that are overpriced for their neighborhood or the developer isn't as experienced probably won't find enough buyers to move forward. So if I'm going to buy $1 million unit, would I rather buy it on Edgewater or would I rather buy it on the Miami River, you know, without quite a view of the water? Do I want that $1 million unit, you know, 5 blocks inland? Do I want it, or maybe it's inland, but it's in Brickell in a different neighborhood? You know, will I maybe pay a little bit less to be in North Miami Beach instead of on South Beach? So I think it's really going to depend. Can the developer get a competitive price? Because if you're overpriced, you know, for your site or for your product, you're going to have a really tough time.
Brian, you're absolutely terrific. I mean, I'm going to have to give you your $3 after this. You only get $2 because you're a developer. You have lots of money.
Hope you have a $3 bill.
Oh, yes, exactly. All right, now, AC's giving me the signal that it's time to wrap up. Brian, you work for the South Florida Business Journal. How do people find you?
You could find me at the SouthFloridaBusinessJournal.com, Twitter at Brian Bandel, or at SFBJ Real Estate.
And if somebody wants to buy a smoking great condo with a super boat slip, how do they get a hold of you?
We have a 10,000-square-foot sales center located at 172nd and Biscayne. We'd love to have you come by.
And you got great coffee and terrific salespeople, too. I want to thank you, too. We're going to come back. We're going to do this some more. I'm going to fill up the wall. This was amazing. AC, it's yours. This is great. Brewster Kell, back after this. We're going to talk branding. We're going to talk about who's your Spock. I'm not going to say Nanu Nanu again. I guess I just did. And we'll be back after this.